This program is a paid presentation for American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC, and is brought to you by American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC. The opinions expressed on the program by the host, host guest, and call-in listeners are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not represent the opinions of management of this station or Brazos Communications West, LLC, who bear no responsibility or liability for the program's content. The purpose of this radio program is intended to inform the public on financial planning issues and investment products for qualified individuals and investors. Many of the topics and opinions discussed may be of a personal nature, and some people may disagree with or find opinions expressed on this program objectionable. Before you invest, you should consult with financial advisors and review the program prospectus and its risks.
97 Gold presents Your Money with Fay Bagby. Sound advice to help your money grow. Now, here's Fay Bagby on 97 Gold.
Good morning.
Well, good morning, Faye. How are you?
Well, I'm wonderful.
Well, it's Saturday.
You know, it's nice and cool in the mornings, and it's Saturday.
Yes.
Two choices right there.
Yes. It's nice and cool. And now, when you go to the bakery at this time of year, if you get lucky and you go to the right bakery, you go the right time, you always smell like all the cinnamon spices of all the fall things that they're starting to cook now or bake.
That's right.
Yeah.
I've never smelled a bakery I didn't like.
I know.
I'll just be honest. bakeries smell very, very good.
I know.
It's just like, you know, hamburger places.
Oh.
You can smell them a mile away, and they have such a good smell in the air.
Yeah.
Different things smell good. That's all there is to it.
I think that's how they get you. I think sometimes they have like the little ventilation systems, which is supposed to be for, you know, like safety and all that. But I think they put some extra delicious hamburger smells in the exhaust stuff, so that you can smell it and you're like, oh, I got to go get that. I think that's how they get you.
Probably so. Well, I want to tell one funny thing today before we get started.
Okay.
It just tells you how where people are in life.
All right.
And I think everybody will appreciate this. The other day I went to the farm store, and I had people working in the yard, and I needed a hoe.
Okay.
And this little girl came up to me, and she said, "May I help you?" I said, "I need a hoe." And she looks at me like I said, "Ma'am, you know, it has this long handle. It's used in the garden." She said, "Well, let me go ask." And she come back. I said, "I need a file." And she said, "For your fingernails?" I laughed for 30 minutes. I just walked out. I said, "Man, there ain't no use talking to this girl. She doesn't even know what a file is to use on a hoe to sharpen it." Well, we have come a long way, honey.
And she
Can
worked
you imagine?
There.
And she worked there, and nobody ever told her what a file was for a hoe.
Wow.
Wow. I mean, this girl, I mean, and she was so sincere. Looked at me, "Is it for your nails?" I said, "Well, I need to get out of here. Oh, it's too much for me."
She wasn't even trying to be funny.
And the guy that was working in the yard, I said, "Do you have a hoe to do this?" "A hoe?" And I had to get a picture on my phone and show him what a hoe looked like.
Are you serious?
That's what the generations have caused. They don't even know proper equipment. Yeah, didn't even know. I said, "Man, I got to change people in the yard here."
Yeah, really.
Because they're not up to speed, let me tell you.
Wow. It's amazing. What do they do? Say, "Hey, go get me that long flat thing?" I mean, what?
They get on their knees and they spend 4 hours in the yard and get paid for it. It's a deal.
Wow.
Yes. It was quite expensive. And I figured all this out. And I hired a different company. They're using hoes and shovels. And it cost me a third that the others did.
Yeah, because it takes a lot. It's a lot faster.
That's right. We can go right through it.
Yeah.
And I had some goat heads. They hoed. Got them off the ground and, you know, put them in sacks and put them in the trash like you should.
Wow.
But I haven't quit laughing yet over that young girl.
I know.
Well, no, if the file was for my nails. Boy.
Man.
That's like Ripley's Believe It or Not. It really happened.
and I want to say, are you sure? Are you making this up? But you can't make up stories like that.
our golf feed store, I swear. Went right up there at the feed store and needed two things. And after I got the first one, I went home. I just went home.
Yeah. You don't need the second one that bad.
No, I didn't need it that bad. That, you know, that I was going to explain to her the difference between a nail hoe and a hoe for a hoe. You know, for I just, you know, she just was zoned out. I don't think that girl had ever been in a farm store. Might have been her first day. I mean, you wouldn't you have thought they'd explained what all the farm stuff was for?
Well, sure, you, would. You would.
We have all this stuff, and this is what you use it for, and this is how you fix it. And somebody might come in and ask you for one of these things.
Yeah, you know.
But no, she wasn't familiar with that. Can you imagine if you ever took her out on the farm?
Oh, Lord.
It'd be a disaster. She wouldn't know what to do.
No, not a clue.
Me. Yeah, but anyway, that was my story for the day because it's just too funny.
That is pretty funny. It's pretty funny.
I'd never had that happen. I thought I'd seen, heard about everything. But
yeah.
It's a new generation. It's a new generation. Man. They are far down the totem pole, let me tell you.
Yeah, they're coming at life from a very different perspective, that's for sure.
They are. They couldn't make it out of an office or, you know, in their backyard.
No.
They just couldn't do it.
No. It sounds like they may need to do a little retraining.
I would think that, you know, or get some grown-ups in there. That would know what things are.
Get some drops. It was a young kid?
It was a young girl.
Yeah. Well,
yeah.
She meant well, I'm sure.
Well, I guess so. It seemed like that was a losing story, you know?
Yeah.
I might as well just get myself out of there.
Yeah. The rest, anything after that is probably not going to go well. I don't blame you.
No, I don't think it would have went well after that.
No. This is Your Money with Faye Bagby. Your phone number is?
It's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. Our website, AmericanFinancialMidland.com.
So, what is the latest with investments? What does the entire landscape look like? How are we going into, because we're almost into, well, we're getting into really fourth quarter now, and so we're kind of getting towards the end of the year. Do things change? Is there any kind of there's no real seasonal thing with life settlements or anything like that. It just keeps going really the same as it is every other time of the year. But is there anything that people should be, you know, thinking about right now? Something that may be, you know, different for fourth quarter?
Well, yes. If they're reading all the reports about things going down, it might give them pause. They might need to have some of their money in something like a life settlement versus all of it in the stock market.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I would do.
What
I would say, you know, we need to be a little bit conservative here because with everything going on in our government, we don't know what's going to happen. The government is now saying, and we got this from one of our banks, by the way, that the government is going to start looking at everybody's bank account. If you've got more than $600 in the bank, they can just go in and look at it. They don't have to have a subpoena. They don't have to have anything. They can keep account of your bank account if you have over $600 in the bank. And they ask us to send a letter to our congressmen and our senators about it.
Really?
And I think that'd be a dadgum good problem to handle right now before it happens.
Wow, I hadn't even heard that.
Yeah, the bank sent us a notice.
Really?
It said you need to send a deal to your congressman and your senator, you know, and tell them that they need to get something done about this before it happens.
Wow. What's the goal? I mean, why would they even do that? Why would they care?
Well, they'll know everything you've got in your bank account. They'll know every dollar you have and what you're doing with your money. It's scary. It's kind of a Gestapo type of tactic, sounds like.
That is a little scary.
You know?
Wow.
It kind of scared me. At first I said, well, I looked at the letter to make sure it's from the bank.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, you read that and you go, is this for real?
Wow.
You know, So it was for real. It really was from the bank. And I just didn't know what to think. I still don't. That the banks are going to be required to show any IRS agent anything you've got in your banks if they want to see it.
Wow. But that's...
So that's something. If you got a deal from your bank, you should send something, if you want to your representatives and tell them how you feel about it.
Yeah. Yeah, that might be definitely something to look into. I hadn't heard that before. I that's news.
And all the banks may not even say anything.
Wow.
But the independent banks is one I got it from.
Really?
Yeah.
Interesting. Well, I wonder how that's going to play out then. It's not actually, it hasn't passed yet. It's just, it's...
No, it has not passed, but that's what they're going to try to do. Apparently, the bank had notice from the government about it.
Wow. All right.
Yes.
All right. Well, that certainly gives us something to think about. What about like life settlements? What about, because I know at one point there was a I don't know if it was a rumor, but there was some buzz. Maybe that's the way to put it. There was some buzz that there could be some kind of a stock market something event, shakeup, something that happens.
Well, they keep saying that it's going to go down 12% before the end of the year.
Really?
I don't know if that's true or not. We, you know, us ordinary folks don't always know everything that happens in New York,
yeah.
You know, because they really control the stock market. It's not anybody out here in the real world that does. We know that. So we'll have to wait and see. But, you know, it went down this week, and there's so much happening in our government and with Afghanistan and all these other things, we just never know. I think everybody should just always be on the cautious side. They should always be prepared if they feel like it. You know, I don't want to scare anybody. I just know how I feel about it.
People should always be ready, even if there's not a hint or a clue or, you know, some talk of something may happen. People all should be ready at really any time because something could happen unprovoked or unforeseen or, you know, I mean, I guess it kind of goes back to 2008 when, you know, things just kind of bottomed out and so many people lost so much really essentially overnight. And, I mean, these things could come out of nowhere.
And we don't know. I mean, we don't know how we stand anymore with all this, as you know.
Yeah.
So I think everybody should be cautious. You should have enough money that you know that no one's going to take it away from you. I always think about that. So it's just be cautious time because times are uncertain. If you're in life settlements, it's not a banking situation. You're in a life insurance policy. And there's different rules, different financial rules for insurance companies versus banks. So if it's in life settlement, I know they're not going to be looking at it at the bank, you know, and giving that information to the Internal Revenue. We all have to pay our taxes. That's the way life is, and we should. We can take deductions. We can do everything just like we've always done. But be cautious in case the government really does pass this. And it could be that they'll back off if enough people send the letters in saying, Congressman, Senator, you're not representing me very good, you know.
Yeah.
So as I always say, you know, let's make money, let's do it safely, let's do it cautiously, and not worry about it.
Well, you know, you've said before, and you'll probably say it better than I do, and correct me if I have this wrong, but you've always said something to the effect of you should never put in the stock market more than you can afford to lose. I think that's
always the case. It's like if you're in the stock market and there's a lot of risk involved, remember, if it goes sideways, that you could lose. And I know before when that happened, people were crying in my office.
Yeah.
So we know that times are a little uncertain. Always be cautious. If you've got all in the stock market, anything goes wrong, you could lose a large amount of money, you know, just because it can happen. Remember, it goes up and down. It's not steady. It's not guaranteed to stay in one spot.
Yeah.
You know, it's not a fixed rate. It's not a fixed product. It's 100% speculation every day of your life.
Yeah,
and you may be doing good. You may not have anything to worry about. I'm just telling you what I've read.
Well, and you know, the other thing is that, you know, when people are looking at different, ways to manage and grow their wealth, they're looking at different options. I think probably the stock market is the main, go-to way that people invest, because it's the first thing that it's a top of mind. Everybody just does it for years and years and years. And a lot of times I think people just don't really stop to think, hey, they kind of get stuck in, boy, I hope it's up today. I hope, you know, when I get up at, you know, 3 a.m. that, you know, we haven't lost anything. And I think people end up putting a lot of trust and faith in hope, and at any time, as we all know, with the stock market, that could come and go. But with the life settlement, it seems like it's, you know, you kind of take that hope and that wishing, and it really kind of becomes more of an actual investment plan. It's slow and steady if you do it properly, so it will take several years, but at least you've got the the foundation, the security, maybe, that you don't have to worry about if something does happen in the world, or if the stock market crashes, or, you know, something overseas, you know, goes crazy, or if there's a war that breaks out someplace, because a life settlement is completely independent of all those things, right?
That's right. And in 2010, you know, our clients did not lose any money because they were in life settlements, as long as it was one of the ones that we had started. Because when we started investing ourselves, you know, by that time we knew how to do it, and to do it right where people would not lose any money. And we quit doing seniors. You know, once we got out of that, we were home free. We knew that the money was safe. We knew they were going to make money, and that they would always get their principal and interest back, which is it's the way it's always been all these years.
Yeah, and that's important, because you can't necessarily plan for that in this stock market. And so I think with
and the other thing is, if they put you in some of these investments like the REITs, and you don't know you're in a REIT, it's a 20-30 year deal, and if you need the money, it's good luck, Charlie, because it's not going to happen. Remember, we tried to get that one person's money out; they'd moved everything else to us. We went in and found out that even after 10 years. It is not liquid. Mm. A REIT is not liquid. You cannot get your money.
So you're kind of.
We thought after 10 years that they could probably get it. No, they could not.
Yeah, they're kind of held hostage, essentially.
If people don't check their investments in the stock market and know exactly what they have, they may have some 20 and 30 year investments rather than just day to day investments.
Yeah.
And we just don't know. So, you know, if you have mutual funds, a lot of them, you know, have folded lately. So always be sure of your mutual funds that it's solid, because we've had 2 or 3 big, large mutual fund companies go under. And so the people lost their earnings with that company, and they lost their principal. And this is recently that happened. I know of 2 or 3 that have went under, and they were huge companies, but they were not making any money. And they were unable to give everybody their money back. So a mutual fund, you have to be cautious and be careful with it.
Yeah. You don't talk about REITs very often. I know you brought it up a couple of weeks ago. Are there more people in REITs than what? Well, first of all, it's a real estate deal, right?
It's a real estate investment trust, and you've invested in it, and they have bought property and put you in as an investor. It may be a hotel. It may be an apartment house. It's something that I always say no one else wants in because it is a long, long-term deal, right? I mean, I'm always saying that. I know personally people that have regretted it, and I always tell the story of the doctor's wife. When she came to me, he died unexpectedly. She needed the cash, and it was about $400,000 in REITs. She could not get it.
Wow.
I don't know what finally happened. I felt so bad about it. But I couldn't help her. I couldn't get any of it out for her.
Completely stuck by the term.
Yeah, and so everybody should know what their investments are, know what they've got you in, know if it's short-term, if it's long-term. And annuities are wonderful, but sometimes they'll put you in a variable annuity. A variable annuity has mutual funds in it, so you still have the big risk. It's not guaranteed. And when you settle up with them, it may be worth less than you put in because it has mutual funds. It's not a fixed rate, fixed product, and that makes a difference.
So an annuity is different than a variable annuity. An annuity, you're a little bit better off with a variable. You don't know what it's going to, it could fluctuate up, it could be down, it could be everywhere, right?
That's right, because it's traded every day because it's got mutual funds in it that are public companies that are traded all the time. So you may have one that does real well. You may have one that does not do well. And then you find out how much is lost and you're upset.
You're upset.
You know, it doesn't have a bottom on it. I'll just tell you, there's no bottom on that investment.
That's a nice way to put it.
If you do a fixed rate, if you do a fixed rate, you know what you're going to get. You know you'll get that. Or if you do an index, the new index annuities are great. They're a lot better than they used to be. They've got new things in them that they've never had before. So those are all new, and they're paying better. They're paying quite well right now. So there's a lot of things you can do. And then if you have, investments with us, like the life settlements, they've got a good rate of return. It's still got an average of 22 to 24%. Most of them are pretty short. Some of them are longer. Some of them are 30 months. But this week we've done three that are 18 months.
Really?
Yeah, three that are 18 months. We've already filled one, but we've got $1 million one we'll be filling this week.
Wow.
It's only 18 months. Yeah.
Wow, that's amazing. Man, that's going to be a big return in a short amount of time.
Yeah, and then we bid one that's 12 months, and we don't know if we got it yet, but we bid one that's only 12 months.
Wow.
So right now we're getting some really good policies in with some great terms.
That seems to be one of the greatest things that people like about life settlements is that they are shorter terms, right?
That's right. And then I've got a lot of people that have called this week that bought annuities with us back in 11. They've matured now, and they said, okay, we want to invest in something else now. We want to do a different type of annuity.
Really?
So, I'm going to be making appointments with at least four people that I know of, maybe more, that they've made some money, and now they're ready to cash that in, take their profit, and do a different one.
What's the index that you were talking about?
Okay, it's got a lot of them. It's got Barclays in it. It's got BlackRock in it. It's got a Fidelity account in it. It's got the best of all worlds now. It's got a lot of different ones. And Midland National never did have these before. They never did have Fidelity, BlackRock, a lot of these. And they gave me a document and said, okay, this is what's made for 10 years. And a lot of people won't tell you what they've made, the last few years. And I looked at it and I said, this is a great return. And there was a couple of years it didn't make anything. But the rest of the time, it made a lot of money.
Wow.
I mean, for an annuity.
Yeah.
It was some 8% years, 10, 11. So annuities are paying more right now than they were a year ago. A year ago, they were not paying near this.
With so many different
interest rates were so bad.
Oh yeah, they've gotten a lot better. With so many different options, how do people know I'm sure there's certain types of investors that are more drawn to certain types of investments, or that they do better with certain types of investments. Is there any kind of a guideline that people should follow when they're trying to decide what to do, or is it just a little bit of everything, or it doesn't really matter at all?
I'd look at my age first. Okay, how many years is it to retirement? Is it 5 years, a year, 4 months? Look at that. That's the most important part. How soon will I need my money? Okay? Do I need that money guaranteed back to me? Am I at an age where I can't afford to lose a dollar?
Mm-hmm.
And so that's what when they come to me, they assess the fact, okay, I've got $500,000 here. Faye, I want you to invest it. It's been in the stock market. I cannot afford to leave it in the stock market and retire. That's basically what people are saying now. It was okay as long as I was working. And my employer was contributing half. But now I'm retiring. He's not going to be contributing anything. So I've got to make this money work for me. I had a gentleman years ago that it was with Chevron. He brought me $1 million, cashed in his Chevron stock, and we invested it for him.
Wow.
He's been with me 18 years.
Really?
Can you imagine? Uh-huh. And he said, I want $70,000 a year. That's all I want.
Really?
And we've made him enough money that he's still got most of his money and been taking $70,000 a year, too.
Wow. That's impressive.
Yeah. And I have other people that we've cashed in their stock with the big oil companies and invested it. We've kept some out every year, but we've reinvested the other monies.
Interesting.
And we've done pretty good. We've done pretty good.
Wow. At what point should people start to ask these types of questions? Is it before retirement or after?
If I was 40 years old, I'd be putting some money in life settlements. If I was 55, I'd be putting a lot more in.
Hmm.
Because I would know I'm getting close to retirement, and I may not have all the money I'm going to need to retire. And it depends if they're going to have a retirement from a company, plus let's say they're going to have $600,000 in cash. In that case, in the next 2 years, they can start drawing the first money they got from their employer and wait 3 or 4 years to draw any of this, and then that way it's had time to make quite a bit, and so you're going to have a lot of interest in your account to use.
So there's almost like a nice foundation or a nice safety net by the time they need it.
Yes, there is. And I always ask people, do you have emergency money? Do you have a 401k? Do you have an IRA? And lots of times they'll both have an IRA. And one of my clients the other day, we sent him a portfolio. And remember, anybody can get a portfolio from us. We will do it and print it and email it to you at any time you ask for it. I think this month we've probably done 6 or 7 already.
Oh, wow.
So this gentleman has large accounts with me, and he sent me a message. He said, Faye, I believe I've got some of those things that you can't be sued over. And I said, oh, you mean annuities? Yeah, he said, I mean annuities.
Those things you can't be sued over.
That's right. Your money is safe if it's in an annuity. They can't get to it and sue you. So anyway, I looked it up and I said, remember, the annuities are separate than life settlements. Annuity companies are a completely separate entity. So we should have sent him both of them, but we didn't. I think my office wasn't thinking about the annuities. They were thinking that every year he gets a statement, but he wanted a new statement in the middle of the year, and we can do that. So I showed him what he'd made, and he's done well on them. And as I said, I've got several people, their annuities has ended, and now they want to do a new annuity and switch it around. So I'm going to be doing a lot of that. And then we have a new client that does not qualify for a life settlement, so he's going to do an annuity. Not everybody qualifies for a life settlement, as you know.
Yeah, you have to be accredited.
And you must qualify. You've got to be accredited. That's a government rule, not mine.
And that means?
So that means you must make $200,000 or you've got to be worth $1 million without your home.
All right.
And most of our people are accredited.
A lot of people, correct me if I'm wrong, but a lot of people, when they start kind of going through the numbers in their head, they forget about a lot of assets that they have, and they really want to do a life settlement, but for whatever reason, they think that they're not accredited. But then they go back and they start, you know, pulling up, you know, old accounts. They start really kind of pulling out all their documents and start looking, and as it turns out, they actually are accredited, and so it's worth taking a little bit of time going back and doing some research, even if people think that they're not, right? That happens a lot, right?
And then another thing, they forget that if you're adding everything up, you and your wife together has to have $300,000 in income, but that is a joint deal. So each of you have to have $150,000 if you do a joint deal. There's all kinds of ways to do it. If you have a business, that comes in it. If you've got a 401k, if you've got an IRA, If you've got a Roth IRA, if you've got ranch or cattle or farm, if you've got, you know, feed crops at the end of the year, that is an asset when you sell it. So there's a lot of assets that people can add up and add to their portfolio, and they may not know it.
Do a lot of people do joint investments like that?
Yes. Every once in a while, I have people that say, our money is together. We want a his and her account. My hairdresser, for one, he's been with me several years. They're worth a lot of money, which lots of times hairdressers aren't worth that much, but he is accredited, so he's worth $1 million, okay? And the other day he said, Faye, I'd like to add my wife to my account. I said, I thought you should have originally, but you didn't, so I didn't say anything. I mean, you know, she was the beneficiary, and I thought, well, maybe that's the way he wants it. But he finally woke up after several years and said, Faye, we better add my wife in case something happened to me.
Yeah.
And I said, it really won't matter, but she can go in and look up the account if she needed to that way. So I've now added the two of them to a joint account.
You know,
and as I said, lots of times people don't do that.
It kind of it brings up a point when you mention that, because we talk about getting ready for retirement, but a lot of times these types of things are not just for the main investor or the people who are, I guess, you know, still with us. But sometimes, you know, if something was to happen and you know, maybe the husband were to pass away, or, you know, something was to change in the dynamic, it's setting really everybody else up, their spouse, their kids. It's making sure that they've got a good foundation as well, right?
That's right, because you have to be prepared, and a lot of people aren't. And, you know, it's unfortunate, but this week, one of my nieces, her pastor at her church went on a fishing trip, had a heart attack, and died.
Oh, no.
Another person she knows has had a heart attack and died. I mean, people don't think about that, of passing away. Everybody thinks, I'll get to it later. I'll do my, you know, trust or my wills. I'll bring everything up to date, but they never get to it. And things happen. And as you know, we try to stay with just cancer. Well, there's a case right now, and we're not involved in it except personally. This gentleman was bipolar, and I don't know a lot about bipolar. I've heard about it, and I know the people have highs, and they'll go and just buy everything in sight. Then they have a low, and they want to take it all back. I've heard of that. But this gentleman is 63 years old, and all of a sudden this is a Christian man that doesn't drink, doesn't smoke, and he's been ill. He suddenly asked his wife for a case of beer. He wanted to fly to a wedding out of state.
Really?
And she thought that was a little strange. And then he would go in the laundry, put one shirt in the laundry, and laundry it. Then he drives all night, goes to a casino in Oklahoma, spent all the money he had on him.
Really?
The final straw. It's sad, but it's true. The next day, he brought a homeless man home with him.
Really?
And that's when she called the police and the doctor, said there's something bad wrong with this guy. They took him away in a straitjacket.
Really?
They put him in a mental facility. They said this is going to be a long road back. But they couldn't tell us what's really wrong with it. I mean, it's so tragic to have just went off his rocker in like 3 weeks.
Oh, wow.
It was just about 3 weeks. I mean, he went completely off and around the bend.
My goodness, that was fast.
It was really fast. And then he got pneumonia, and he was pulling the tubes out. So they took him to hospital. They had to put him in a coma.
Really?
Now, you talk about something bad happening to a guy. I'm not even sure this guy will make it. And I've never heard of a disease like this where this person in 3 weeks was completely off.
That is,
I mean, his brain, yeah, just stopped functioning. I mean, he was doing things that nobody in the world would do.
Jeez, that's serious.
And, I mean, when he brought the transit guy home, she knew, she better call the police right quick, because this guy was going to bring him in the house, you know.
Wow.
And she said, "You take him back wherever you found him." And the poor old homeless man said, "Mammy was driving 90 miles an hour."
Oh,
so
Lord.
So I think he wanted to go back. He was scared. I mean, I'd have been scared, too.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. But, you know, of all the diseases that we see, all the things medically wrong with people, I've never seen anything like this. And for a person to go down in 3 weeks, I mean, 3 weeks, and he was off his rocker in 3 weeks.
Wow. That's fast. Yeah, so things can happen, and you don't even know. You're not even
prepared.
That's right.
Prepared. So you have to be prepared. I mean, who knows? We don't know enough about medical science. We think we know all these diseases, all the things that can happen, but we don't.
Yeah.
And, you know, if you're not prepared, your family will be in a lot of trouble.
Exactly.
And I always tell all my clients, you've got to have either a trust or you need a new will.
Yeah.
And if there's somebody that you don't particularly want to be in charge, you better get that will done or that trust. They might accidentally be in charge of you, and you might not go do anything about it.
Yeah. And without those documents to lay it all out, there's nothing really.
Yes.
I mean, they.
You've got to have power of attorney. You've got to have medical power of attorney, where if something like this happened to a loved one, you could see about them, because you've got to have authorization, you know, to take care of them. There's so many things you need if something happens to you. And your investments should be the same way. You should know that your investments are solid. I've had two clients this last year die. One died of cancer. One had a heart attack at work and was gone in 5 minutes.
Wow.
And, yeah, and they planned for their wife to keep their investments with me forever, because they knew I would look after them, wouldn't let anything happen. But some fast-talking old boy came along, and they gave him the money.
Really?
It's the darndest thing I ever heard of.
Wow.
But women are crazy that way. if a man comes by, they're going to believe him, let me tell you. I mean, this happened really quickly after they died, and I'm going, my head was just spinning. I said, I don't understand this.
Yeah.
I couldn't figure it out, in other words. Because men don't do that. My men clients, when their wife passes away, they're steady. They just keep going. We work on their investments. We work on making money. And that's just the way it is. They already know they've been making money, so they were already happy, you know, with me representing them. And they bring us more money all the time. We invest more for them. And there's just a difference between women and men.
Yeah.
And I guess there always has been, but I don't understand it.
Yeah. So it's important to make sure everything is laid out and planned and really
yeah,
all the...
Yeah, you need to plan and plan for your retirement.
Yeah.
If you don't and something happens and you don't have any of these retirement plans laid, then your investments are in a lot of trouble. That's all there is to it.
Exactly. It's all about the planning.
And you should have good investments, solid investments, where you know where you're at all times.
This is Your Money with Faye Bagby. Your phone number is?
It's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. And our website is AmericanFinancialMidland.com. There's a lot of good information. Our references are on there. You can look us up, see what we've been doing, what we've made, and what the percentage that people are making.
And that's
all
important.
Right there.
Yeah, people, they use it a lot.
That's the whole deal. That's why people come to us, is to make money. If they weren't making money, they would not be with me.
Exactly. And that website's a tool, and people can use it. People, they do. And you get a lot of feedback from it, too.
Yes, I do. And people check us out at the Better Business Bureau every month. And we're an accredited member of the Better Business Bureau, have been since 2003. I guess that's about 18 years, isn't it?
Jeez. I'm not good with math, but yeah, 17, 18 years, something like that. Goodness gracious.
Yeah, we've been in business a long time.
Wow. Good for you. That's awesome.
And we've been accredited for many years. That means we take care of our business, we take care of our clients.
All right. So every Saturday morning around this time, we get into trivia. And so what is our topic this morning?
Let's talk about Nacogdoches, Texas, East Texas.
Cool.
It's known as the Piney Woods over there, as you probably know.
Mm-hmm.
It is the blueberry capital of Texas.
Mm.
Did you know that?
I did not, but I love blueberries.
And there's some songs about it. Her eyes are green like the trees in Nacogdoches.
Oh.
And then they have a hometown hero, Clint Dempsey, captain of the U.S. soccer team during 2014.
Really?
He's from Nacogdoches, yes.
I didn't know that.
And Nacogdoches has the old brick streets.
Really?
Can you imagine?
Oh, I love stuff like that.
This place is so old. I can tell you stories about this town. In fact, I don't even think I could tell you everything I know about it in one setting. That's how interesting Nacogdoches is. It's got so many. Nacogdoches was dubbed the number one small city in Texas.
Really?
It's the first official town in Texas, earning the nickname the oldest town in Texas.
Cool. And they've still got the brick streets.
Yes, they do.
Oh.
And it's Nacogdoches County is ranked number 9 in Texas agriculture production.
Really?
And the Butcher Boys, which is a wide-open eats place, is the number one spot of the 10 best burger joints in Texas.
Mm. The Butcher Boys?
So it's one of the best. Now then, the Nacogdoches was a Caddo Indian settlement till the early 19th century. There's more people who have had the flag over Nacogdoches than the state of Texas. Did you know that?
I did not know that. Wow.
It's had 9 flags over it, folks.
Really?
9. And Texas only had 6. It flew under the flag of the Gutierrez Republic, the Long Republic, the Freedom Rebellion. People from the United States started settling there in 1820. The first English language newspaper was published there.
You're kidding. Wow.
The first newspaper, English. And in the 1700s, it was in Spanish, and there's an edition of the Spanish newspaper at the local museum.
Really?
Yes.
Now, that's cool.
Now, yes. Yabardo, a prominent Spanish trader, he was the leader of the settlers in the spring of 1779. And he led a group back to Nacogdoches after the Spanish officials said they all had to leave. I mean, in 1716, Spain established a mission there.
Really?
And, yes, that was the first European construction anywhere around. It got started after the French had vacated the region. Can you imagine? We had all these Europeans were in Nacogdoches. It's hard to believe. You had the French. You had the Indian War. Spanish officials decided the mission was too costly in 1772. They said, we're all moving to San Antonio. People said, we don't want to move to San Antonio. And they were forcing them to.
Wow.
But then... this prominent Spanish trader was bringing everybody back. And he was lieutenant governor of the new town. He established all the rules and the law, and he laid out the streets. One was called El Camino Real.
Ooh.
And La Cali was another one. And he built a stone house. The house is an old stone fort, and that
really?
Was his.
Yeah, oh, that's
cool. One of the most interesting towns in all of Texas. And there's only about 32,000 people that live there. Sam Houston lived there for 4 years and had a law practice.
Really?
Yeah, he opened a downtown law office. He courted a woman named Anna Ragu. She was the daughter of one of the leading citizens. But she gave him up when she found out he still wasn't divorced from his first wife, that Eliza Allen of Tennessee. She said, no, I'm not going to date you. But if you remember, he couldn't get a divorce, the story goes, of Sam Houston. There was Adolphus Stern. He was a merchant of German and Jewish extent, and he maintained the finest home in the whole town. And Sam Houston went there, Charles Bowles and Davy Crockett.
Really?
Yeah. And Nacogdoches contains one of the last surviving family-owned plantations in all of Texas. It was called August Tubb Plantation. It's been operated by the same family since 1859. He was German-born. His elderly mother and him left Germany in 1859, arrived in Nacogdoches in 1859, and there's all kinds of books out on that's how famous this man was. There's a historical fiction book also called I'm Just Tina Tubb. But they had cotton, they had sugar cane. It played an important part in mill lumber, and the first water and steam powered sawmill was there.
Really?
And these buildings date back so far, and the estate contains a century board stamped with the logo of that sawmill from way, way back during the 19th century. The family's been featured in a number of German museums, including the Bremerhaven Germany Museum. That's how famous they were.
Wow.
They were from Germany, and they were very famous. And even though the estate is privately owned, but it's maintained by a fifth-generation Tubb family member.
Wow.
And if you want to go and study there, it's by appointment only.
Really?
It's one of the founding families of Nacogdoches. Their plantation consisted of 2,000 acres.
That's huge.
I mean, back then, can you imagine?
I couldn't.
If you owned that? The man was a Masonic. He belonged to Masonic Lodge. He had a sawmill. This guy had everything in the world. He brought the railroad to Nacogdoches.
You know, it's almost like this could be called the city of firsts. You know, they were the first to have so
it
many
is.
Things.
They had so many firsts.
Wow.
Right. And the blueberry capital, I imagine, that gets everybody's attention, just producing so many blueberries.
Yeah. Man, I had no idea. When you said, you know, the blueberries, I thought, oh, okay, well, this is going to be great. But I had no idea you were going to bring all these other aspects into it. I mean, it's so much more than what I ever really, I guess, realized before.
It's named as one of the friendliest towns in Texas.
Wow.
Yeah. I mean, it's famous for so much. And Stephen F. Austin State University is there.
Hmm.
It's also known for the Lumberjack basketball, five-time conference champions also. I mean, these people have got so many firsts, it's just amazing. And then you've got all the piney woods there that are so famous. Everybody should go there. They also have blueberry festivals to go and see. They have two lakes, and that's nothing compared to all the historical things there.
I know it. And the iconic people that have passed through.
Oh, yeah. The people that live there. And to think, there's 9 flags have flown over Nacogdoches.
And the whole state's
more
only
than
had
the
6.
State of Texas.
Wow.
Yeah. We only have 6. They had 9. And, of course, they had so many different Europeans. I was shocked to find the French came there. Everybody. The Germans were there. The Spanish people were there. Every type of person, somehow they passed through Nacogdoches and did something famous.
Yeah, these different phases of different cultures have all, I guess, had their influence and their mark on it. It's amazing.
It is, and two of the founding fathers, of course, was this guy, this a German immigrant, that came over here with his mother, the Tubbs family. And they've written all these books about them. That's how famous they are. And they even did a fiction book on them. They're that famous.
Wow.
And Adolphus Stern was the first mayor of Nacogdoches, and they've got a museum in his honor. And they the old train depot, the old stone fort, there was an old fort there also. I mean, this is really, really got all of your things nationwide you should go and see.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you know how I am about, you know, architecture and seeing, you know, old buildings like that. The fact that they've still got them and the brick streets. It's just, wow.
The brick streets. You wouldn't find that anywhere that I know of. Brick streets.
It's amazing.
It's more like New Orleans. I think it's because you had the French, you had the Germans, and they laid those brick for the streets. And I just think it's famous.
Yeah.
The things that they did there.
It's fascinating.
And they've kept the small town atmosphere. They haven't become a big city.
Yeah. It was like, what'd you say,
32,000 is about it.
Yeah. I mean, my goodness, the fact that it hasn't, you know, grown into this bigger, I guess, touristy thing, it's amazing. It speaks for the integrity that they've been able to maintain.
Yeah. And I told you that they were one of the friendliest towns in America. And I said Texas, but really Rand McNally said the friendliest towns in America.
Wow. That's
isn't that something?
Wow, that's incredible. You know, and it's like, I think, you know, I've known like bits and pieces here and there, but I've never actually had it all put together like this before. I've got a whole new appreciation for this.
And their downtown was named the best historic venue by Texas Meeting and Events magazine. Best historic venue for a downtown.
Wow.
And it's the headquarters also of the Texas wing of the Civil Air Patrol.
Amazing.
Yeah, I mean, this is an amazing little town. You could go and be there for a long time and see all this. I'd love to go see the plantation, which I've not seen. And, you know, you can go and see it. They were just so famous. And all the things they did back then, I'm just shocked.
Yeah, me too. I've got a whole new appreciation. You know, and I was thinking at the beginning, man, this would be a really great place to take like a weekend trip. I'm thinking it's going to take more than just a weekend now to soak everything in. You'll need more time.
And, you know, they also discovered oil there.
Yeah.
But the oil wells never did produce like they did everywhere else. I think 10 to 40 barrels a day was about what it produced. But there was a lot of them. They put them all over the place. You know how people are.
Yeah.
If you can get some oil leases, just put them in, you know.
Yeah. Do what you got to do, you know.
you got to have the cash, and that's one way to raise it.
Yeah.
Oh, we put some oil wells down.
Yeah. It's what we do.
But, that's right. But this is one town everyone should visit for a few days, get all the flavor of it, and enjoy the place.
No doubt. Definitely on the list. This is Your Money with Faye Bagby. Your phone number is?
It's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. And our website, AmericanFinancialMidland.com.
Before we wrap up the show, I know we always talk about the three risks. Sometimes we talk about you have to be accredited to do a life settlement. You've already covered that. So kind of, you know, keeping those, you know, the accreditation aspect of it in mind, when you go through these three risks, it's almost like, I know we have to cover them, but they seem like they're almost, when you put them in perspective, they seem a little bit smaller than like...
Well, it's like this. Your biggest risk is a policy could go over. Two or three policies could go over. Always be prepared for that. But then you may have five in a row that come in early, or they may be on time. But it all works out in the end. You're always going to get your money. You're always going to get your interest. And that's what makes it worth doing. If it wasn't, we wouldn't have 650 clients.
Wow.
And most of these clients have been with us a long time, by the way. So, if you're accredited, it shouldn't be a big problem. As long as you're accredited, if your money has to settle a little longer, you can stand it. So that's why we say that. It could go on, and that's a risk. The next risk is, remember, once you put your money in, you cannot get it back until they pass away. And that, I think that's a very small risk. Then the other one is if a life insurance company should go under. We haven't had one go under in years, and any of them that got in just a tiny bit of trouble, somebody will buy it because of the premium income. So I think the risks are, level playing field. They're not so great that it would hurt you.
Yeah. I think really the takeaway from today's show is even if people don't want to get into a life settlement, it seems like that's really the foundation of what a lot of people really like. They like the great returns. They like the fact that they're short returns. And so it's a really self-sustaining investment. It's slow, it's conservative, and it works for a lot of people, and a lot of people have been very successful. But there's also other options as well. It's really just a matter of coming to talk to you, find out where people are, where they want to be, when they want to be there, and you can kind of guide them in the right direction, right?
That's right. It depends when they're going to retire. Is it tomorrow? Is it 2 months, 3 months? And what do you need to make during retirement? We have to figure that out. What can you live on? And how soon do you need cash once you retire? So all those things we answer, we work with you, and where it will be a profitable relationship.
Cool. And that's the name of the game. So to get started, people need to come talk to you. And to do that, they need to make an appointment. You have availability this coming week, right?
I do. I already have some appointments, but yes, we do have time.
Cool. And one last time for people to call and make an appointment, what is your phone number?
It's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. Our website, AmericanFinancialMidland.com. Look us up. Read about us.
You've been listening to Your Money with Fay Bagby. Sound advice to help your money grow. Listen for Your Money with Fay Bagby every Saturday morning at 10 here on 97 Gold.
This program has been a paid presentation for American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC, and has been brought to you by American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC. The opinions expressed on the program by the host, host guest, and call-in listeners are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not represent the opinions of management of this station or Brazos Communications West, LLC, who bear no responsibility or liability for the program's content. The purpose of this radio program is intended to inform the public on financial planning issues and investment products for qualified individuals and investors. Many of the topics and opinions discussed may be of a personal nature, and some people may disagree with or find opinions expressed on this program objectionable. Before you invest, you should consult with financial advisors and review the program prospectus and its risks.